got perspective, we got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, tonight. Hello, welcome to episode 189 of Geek Grills. We're going to be doing our book club tonight. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Linda.
Hello.
And Ray. Well, we're really sorry about last week. There was a family emergency, basically, and so we didn't do our St. Patrick's Day thing. That's okay, we'll do it next year.
Yep. We'll have all the snakes next year. We'll get rid of all the snakes next year.
Hopefully. So thank you everyone for being here and listening in. The Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. Remember, so please visit today at patreon.com/grills. Today we will be talking about The Red Tent by Anita Diamant. It's our book club selection this quarter. And yeah, I guess next week we'll pick the book for the next one. So what have you Grills been up to this geeky week? Linda?
I've been working more on my dragon blanket. It's coming along slowly but surely. It's like every time I'm doing something like a game where I'm not running it, I have my blanket and I'm just working on it as I'm like on the internet.
It's huge.
Yeah, this is this is row 18 and there's 50.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die.
So yeah, it's gonna be pretty chunky. I don't know if I have enough yarn. I'm gonna have to go get more yarn. Maybe, I don't know, probably. And the thing is that I bought this yarn with like a gift card from Walmart. It's not yarn that is available at my local Joann's. So I'm going to have to go back, remember which Walmart I went to. Because this was last year when I bottled this stuff for it. Like before the lockdown happened. And I'm going to have to hope that it's the same dye lot. But, you know, it's fine. Because it's sparkly. It's got sparkles in it. So I can't just use the extra yarn that I already own. Because, of course, I can't. but moving on.
Well, it looks like a fairly primary color. So hopefully it's not too hard.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully they didn't discontinue it. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go on a wild hunt on the interwebs. Yay!
Sprinkle glitter into your yarn. No, don't do that.
Don't do that. As someone who played a character that had like free floating glitter with everything, I still find glitter, and I stopped playing that character 3 or 4 years ago. Anyway, I also made some swag for Dragon Con if it happens this year. I'm part of the Swag and Seek group. Basically, they just go around Dragon Con and hide swag for people to just pick up. It's got like little notes on it that says, "I'm not lost, I'm swag, please take me home." So out of the extra yarn bits that I have left over from projects, I will make little bookmarks. If I can find little charms that are an appropriate like charm to go with the color of the bookmark, I'll add it on. And I've got perler bead stuff, but perler bead stuff is more intensive because I have to take out the thing and put it out and then do all the stuff and iron, so it's easier just to make a bunch of little bookmarks because I'm just like, I have this extra. I've been doing some puzzling, which is to say I'm putting together a jigsaw puzzle. It's Tiamat, which is the D&D mother of all evil dragons, so that's fun. It's a five-headed dragon.
Nice.
I'm almost done. I'm so close. In fact, I forgot what day it was, and I was working on the puzzle earlier, and my phone started buzzing, and it was a thing. but it's almost done. And then I've been doing just some writing exercises to try and get back into the flow of that, because I'm so close to finishing the rewrite on my book that I published years ago. And then you can't really unpublish something, but I took down everywhere where you could buy it. So it's kind of unpublished now. I unpublished it. But I'm rewriting it, and then I'm going to see about maybe getting the rewrite published again. I don't know how that's going to work with it being like under the same name. I don't know. I'm going to have to like get an agent or something and be like, how do? And then I started on a commission of a B-Wing pilot helmet from Star Wars. It's a crocheted.
Wow.
And so if you don't know what that is, please feel free to look it up on the internet. It's complicated. So I'm basically having to ad hoc the pattern myself because nowhere does it exist. So I have figured out kind of how to do the top of it, and now I need to do, because it doesn't have a top. Technically, it goes around like the outside of your head and then sits like with a band across. So I figured out how to make the top is just this neutral colored yarn, and then the rest will go across it. So it actually, you know, is a functioning warm hat that has the top.
It's really earmuffs. I mean,
yeah, it's really chonky earmuffs is what the original hat looks like. But I'm figuring it out. I've got the pattern, the patterns that I am kind of Frankensteining together, because that's what I do. So I've gotten a good start on that.
Neat.
And I got my first vaccine. Yay. One of two. I couldn't raise my arm more than about an inch for like 2 days, but you know, worth it. And then I ran my D&D game this past week. We're so close to being done, because
they almost finished the
basic
cards.
Yeah, the basic premise is that all the cards of the deck of many things got shattered. They have all but three. They have three more cards to get. And I'm like, you are almost done. Okay.
Yay!
So yay! That's what I've been up to.
How about you, Ray?
Busy and not busy at the same time. But I did get a little downtime over the weekend, so I got a bit of WoW in. Finished up watching Sailor Moon Stars. That was actually, I had started it before I had to go away and came back and like basically just bundled up in a blanket with my husband on the couch, and we finished watching that, which is the last season of Sailor Moon. And I was kind of waiting for it to really like hit me, because I remember it being a big deal when I watched it like raw with no Japanese subtitles, Japanese commercials. Like, we rented it from a Japanese grocery store / video store, and they would let you rent out the tapes. And it just like, it didn't hit as hard as I thought, but there's one scene that will always get me. But I'm like, as far as like, I guess like the Sailor Moon R movie and the end of season one will still always be the ones just bam, nostalgia and feels for me. Also finished Cobra Kai season 3, because I'm really late at picking up on stuff that everybody else has watched. And on that note, I've started The Gifted, which apparently is quite old. Well, not super old, but like a couple of years old now. It's just mutants. I like mutants, so. I have not watched the Snyder Cut yet. Scott had no interest to watch it with me, so I'm like, oh, well, I need 4 hours to sit down and watch it by myself. Okay.
Yeah, it's basically a mini series.
Yeah, so I hadn't seen Justice League at all, so this will just be me jumping into the deep end with it. And then I did pick up Dresden Files Battlegrounds while I was away at my folks, and it's just, It's all battles. It's all battles right now. It's a big cumulative battle over like the book series, but I just really don't care. And I'm fighting the urge to just skip ahead, which is one reason why I just keep putting it down and not finishing it. I'm like, ugh. 'Cause usually they don't stretch this long.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it for me. How about you?
Well, I've been doing some serious construction, getting ready to. We had a new door put in my house, and they brought the wrong door, which we realized after they replaced some of the wood in the framing and took out a chunk of our hardwood floor. And we got partway through, and I was looking, and I'm like, so what do you do with the sliding screen thing when you open both doors? Does it pop out? And my husband says, both doors don't open. I'm like, that's not what I wanted. Like, and so I contacted the company, and thankfully, like the sales guy remembered the same conversation I did. Like, I didn't want the patio door. I didn't want the French doors. I need them both to open. It's like, if we need to move big things in and out of the house, this has been a useful thing over the years. So now we have to, they're sorting it out, and I feel really bad for that sales guy, because ended up, they tried to figure out where the mistake was. Like, was it at the factory? No, he made the wrong choice somewhere in there. So they're ordering a new door, and they're made to order. My door is like TARDIS blue, and it's got like green trim. It is so cool. But they installed it. I have to replace that flooring, so we decided to tile it. And I got tile. I still need to get spacers. I picked up my grout. I got some, like, all the things at the hardware store. And then I was just like, you know, I gotta call them again. And so to after doing a lot of construction to yesterday and only minor injuries, to get ready to tile, I discussed with the company moving the door up a half an inch, because right now the guy installed it so it clears the subfloor, but like it won't open more than 90 degrees anyway because it hits the actual hardwood floor that is still there. And I was going to cut some more of it out and tile it. And I'm like, I shouldn't have to do that. The door should clear the floor. So I want to say I had that fight today, but that wasn't really a fight. This company is local, and they're very good and responsive, and they're going to take care of that. But now I can't do the actual tiling until after the door comes in, because, you know, I mean, you'll break it. Let's not break my tile. So that's been kind of funny. After I don't know if you saw on Facebook my sexist bullshit at the hardware store. It made me so happy. Like, to make the effort to look past me at my husband while I'm picking out tools and say, oh, she's putting you to work. Like, I'm right here. It's like, Rob went out and planted flowers. Well, I did construction, like tearing up wood and staples. So what else? I started reading my friend Ken's book, Some White Guy's Book, finally, because I finished our book club assignment, and I will review that for him, and let you guys know how it is when I'm finished. I did watch the Snyder Cut. Rob and I watched it over the course of a couple nights. We didn't watch it all at once. Very, very long. I'm really glad it happened. I liked it a lot. People are like, oh, it's so dark. It's DC. Like, if you were a Watchmen fan, you're gonna like this. You get a whole
Well,
lot more background and.
it's also Snyder. That's kind of what he does.
Yeah. And that's good. I mean, there's a big difference between, like, Marvel movies and DC movies, and because there's a big difference between Marvel and DC. Marvel worked together to have this cohesive world. And you can draw a lot more lines more easily. And DC is very character driven. And when you've got a group of characters like the whole Justice League, you gotta tell all those stories. So I felt like it needed that time, and it's way better than watching the theatrical release. I thought it was worth the time. And it was my Superman. Because I'm one of those weirdos that liked Man of Steel because I always disliked Superman. He's too good, too perfect, way OP. Like, what the hell? Just boring. But when he actually has to decide to be good, that I can relate to. That's hard. That's what makes heroes. What else? I watched the live action Mulan last night.
What'd you think?
Not so great, actually.
Yeah,
I
pretty
found it
much
way
what I
less
heard.
enjoyable than the animated. Why they added that witch? I don't know what. Like, people complain about there being no joy in the Snyder Cut of DC. There was no joy in that Mulan. That's messed up. I finished the Pouch from Hell that I had been on Amazon
Yay.
for a little bit. I did end up seeing this.
Really?
I am never using this fabric again. This silver lining is a nightmare. And I got,
Enjoy it.
right? I got some fancy silver cords for the drawstrings. And I did end up having to hand sew a lot of it. And while my hands were not hurting and not flared up, I went ahead and I did that. I was like, I have to do this while I can. What else? I also got my first COVID shot, which I
Hooray.
noticed today I have a little bruising from, which is weird. Only side effect, thankfully, from the first one anyway, was a sore arm. I got the Moderna. And the other cool thing is we did went to which we did go to we did went to darn. We went to this little local nursery, and somebody told us, like, this is a really weird little place and they have weird plants and weird. I'm like, okay. Not just plants, but neat old, like, there was an old cast iron cauldron that I might go back and get. And then there was some kitschy stuff in the back room, and I found this cookbook. It's the Columbia College Wind Ensemble 1984 D-Day Festival Celebrities and Friends Cookbook. And,
That's oddly specific.
right? This is super specific. And I was like, what the hell is that? So I open it up, and I'm thinking, it's bound like a church cookbook, right? So it's going to be just recipes that I'll have a can of soup in them. But it wasn't. And the first one I opened to, I looked down and it's like Rosalind Carter, Nancy Reagan, Kitty Dukakis. What? I flipped the page. Rick Springfield, Peggy Fleming,
All right.
Leslie Uggams. So there's like Elizabeth Taylor. There's nerd stuff. Tom Selleck is in here. Like, and the recipes are so formatted differently. Like, they obviously just sent in their recipe. So it's like, it's fucking great. Like, I have Rick Springfield's tuna salad casserole or tuna casserole recipe and like Leslie Uggams' pot roast recipe. It's like, I'm gonna have to make that next time I watch Deadpool. And then, like, these politicians, like, talk about this is the most bipartisan thing I've ever seen in my life. It is everyone from like Rosalind Carter to Strom Thurmond's wife in
Oh, wow.
So, and I was super excited. It didn't have a price on it, and I was like, well, I gotta have it. And I mean, it's an old used thing, it's probably not that much. And then after we checked out, I was like, did the math in my head. I'm like, oh my God, he charged me a dollar.
Oh,
Wow.
So, I am super happy with my nerdy cookbook find. So today I took it to join my friend for a mimosa on the patio at the brewery yesterday, and she was excited as I was because there's an index in the back so you can look up who is has recipes in it. And then she's like, oh, Ruth Buzzy. What's Ruth Buzzy got in here? Carol Burnett, and like just flipping her around.
Wow.
Yeah, super great. So today is our book club. Our longtime listeners will know we do a book club generally quarterly. We have a list that we roll on with books that are suggested by listeners and by ourselves. And this time, the book that was chosen was The Red Tent by Anita Diamant.
Yes.
And it was a suggestion that I made. This book was given to me years ago by my friend Neil Gross. And I lost that copy. I can't find it. I probably lent it to somebody. So this is the library copy, because I have a wonderful librarian friend who's like, I got you. And like checks it out for me. Yay. Yay, picking things up.
Yay.
Yay. So I'm going to post the Goodreads. Oh, excuse me. And the Wikipedia articles in our notes and in our chat.
Not the Wikipedia. That's the wrong one.
That's the wrong one.
Wikipedia.
It is not about the Star Wars.
No.
So, I love this book, and I hope that you girls did too, because some books you guys have suggested have that historical fiction bent, and this is sort of like
I was going to say, it very much reminded me of the, like, Cleopatra's Daughter and those books, the one we read, Heretic Queen is the one we reread, but she also, I believe, did, like, Cleopatra's Daughter and other stories. I can't remember if she did the other Boleyn girl or if that was a different author. I think that was a different author, but the same kind of thing. So I do like the historical fiction-esque kind of thing.
Yes. It's really interesting. I don't know if the copies you guys had, but I loved, it's kind of got a book club thing in the back. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so my copy has the last, it's got a reading group guide in the last page.
Nice.
And so it asks like questions, so you can do that and then discuss, which is really interesting. So this isn't just like a piece of history. What this is this author took a character from the Bible and one that was like only mentioned once. Her name is Dina. D-I-N-A-H, that I've pronounced wrong my whole life, but there is a family tree in the beginning of the book that has
literally,
pronunciations.
While I was reading it, Dinah is what I was thinking.
I kept slipping back into it, even though this time through the read, because this is the second time I've read it, I caught the pronunciation, and I tried to keep it in my head really hard, because I have a friend whose name is Dina, but it's spelled D-E-A-N-A, a Big Mama D, and people always say Deanna, and I can understand being really annoyed because that's not right. So I tried really hard to hold
that's
on.
That's not my name. It's an old song now. Anyway.
So she's related to like more prominent characters in the Bible, like Rachel and stuff. But the author felt that some of these characters really seemed like the details were vague and not treated properly, and there were implications. Like people always assume there was, you know, this rape and this drama and this stuff going on. And she was like, well, that's not necessarily true. And why not tell these characters' story? And so she created their story. And she uses a lot of really fantastic, the history part is how things were culturally in that part of the world at that time, in Canaan and in Egypt. And how the societies were built and the male-female roles and relationships. And the red tent is a reference to where the women go when it's everyone's time of the month. And when you're living all together in a tribal situation, that's what happens. I have very little doubt that they could just take those couple of days together. I have it happen with friends that I don't even see in person.
Sync up.
Yep. Happens with people you work with too. So
yep.
There's that.
Which is great in the office, right? Gosh, thanks. But the marital dynamics, all right, so let me tell you what the discussion points are. They recommend you read Genesis 34 and discuss how the red tent changes your perspective on Dina's story and also on the story of Joseph that follows. Now I think, and I wasn't sure. Are you guys sure? Her brother Joseph is like Technicolor Dreamcoat Joseph, right?
Is he?
There's a mention when they go to see. Is it Rachel? That's the goddess, the augury person, and they make. Leah, her mother, makes him this coat that's all stripey and he's all like super excited about and everybody's making fun of him. I think that was a reference to that, so we would know it was that Joseph.
Oh, that would
and
be
he does end up
another one,
going
I
to
know.
Egypt and becoming
He
somebody
does.
else there of importance. So yeah.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm looking. I am looking to see.
You do that. I'm gonna play. I'm gonna live up to my heathen stereotype because I don't know.
Well, I mean, I was, you know, raised in a Lutheran church, but Lutheran church isn't. At least my Lutheran church isn't so much Bible thumpers as they are, you know, saved by grace kind of thing. That was how I was raised. So I know these stories tangentially.
Yeah. I used to teach sixth grade church school before I recovered from being a Catholic. And so a lot of these names are like super familiar to me. I used to read in church, like starting in first grade, which is kind of ridiculous.
Here, hold on. I don't understand.
So
characters.
Anyway, they talk about the marital dynamics in Jacob's family. He has four wives. And it's really, I thought that was so neat and interesting. Like, she created these relationships that were very different with the different women. And, you know, he treated them differently and their interactions were very different. And, like, some had more children, some had fewer children, and how that affects those relationships is really...
Going back to the question of if Joseph is the Joseph from the Technicolor Dreamcoat, I think it is because he has brother Simeon and Jacob.
Yep.
Or maybe his father. There's Levi. Like, it's a lot of...
The same names.
Same names. Yep. Yep, yep. They don't talk about his sisters much.
No.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, it's the Bible. Like, the women don't get mentioned much.
They're I was looking at the characters from the musical. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't think they had much part in that. Because I think the music, I've never seen that musical, but I think it's mostly about him kind of...
It's him going to Egypt. Is
when he goes to Egypt.
Part of that musical.
Yeah. So, what else? What did you guys really like about this? I like the midwifery stuff, too. The focus is on that. Herbalism. I mean, those are all things that, like, we know they actually work now. Like, shit that the Egyptians and people in Canaan used.
Yep.
I liked her voice, I guess, if that makes sense, like, as she's telling the story, because it's basically her, and it's just, it's very, yeah, there's a lot of historical stuff, but it's told in a way that is understandable, if that makes sense, because there are many things of history that you could go on and on about them, and people would be like, what? Like, I'm sorry, can you repeat? But this is very explanatory is not the right word, but it explained things well.
Expositionary?
Not even exposition. It was easy for me to understand. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
and
even
I
all
and
the
I
liked names,
her voice. Yeah,
like I saw reviews of it on I think it was Goodreads and. People are like, I'm having trouble keeping track because there's like so many names. And so it's like, oh, I took a picture of the family tree and kept it next to me for when I'd get lost with that. And I understand that because even with the amount of character development in it, there's so many characters. And that can be hard in a book. And it's like, is it really important? I mean, it doesn't read like those parts of the Bible where it's so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. You know, it's not Silmarillion.
So... So I have to bring this in just because it reminded me of it because we did at my church when I was growing up, we did a show called In the Beginning. And it's basically like, what if all of these biblical events had this group of people that kept showing up during them as they're going along? So, like, they were in the Garden of Eden with, you know, Adam and Eve, and they were in Egypt with the Israelites and all that stuff. They're not immortal, but it was just like, what if these people were just here and kind of commenting on it? It was a comedy. And one of the songs was Put Women in the Bible. And one of the lines is, if Abraham begot Isaac, begot Jacob, there must have been a her. Put those women in the Bible.
Right?
And that's all I could, like, that popped into my head as I was reading. I was like, well, there they are. There's the hers.
And that's what the author very much did with this. It like gave voices to female characters that just had their name mentioned here and there and had no voice of their own. And I think she did a fantastic job with that, especially with, I mean, the way even taught, even reading through, I mean, as a woman, they're such cringy property, exchanging women as property, right? Bride prices and dowries and haggling over it and not having a say, but really gave like Dina and the other women their own voice and purpose in that kind of environment was just it took that edge off of being so annoyed that that was like that.
And it kind of like
And the
and
importance
getting in,
of
yeah,
what the women were doing.
and it, like getting into like the story of it with her and the prince. Where is it? What was it? Oh my God.
Oh, yeah, because they stopped mentioning Shalem, right?
Shalit. No, he's a
Sechem.
he was a prince of
Yeah,
Shalem.
Sechem, he was the prince of the city.
Session. Okay, yeah, there. Was that, you know, they actually in the book,
Shalem.
we don't know what the Bible had to think on the matter, but in the book they actually like loved each other. And that's, you know, it added this like, and you know, I know it's historical, the people have been paying bride prices for longer than they haven't been paying bride prices. But it just added this kind of depth of, yes, that's what it suspected of them, but they also did like each other. And
Yeah, they fell in love, and then this guy was like, I am going to send your shepherd father what I would send for a princess because I love you and I have money. And then her, you know, Jacob gets all like prideful, like, because he didn't initiate the transaction. It turns into this grunt fest and ego posturing. And then, you know, her brothers go and like kill every man in the city after this whole like part of the bride price is you all have to be circumcised shit. Like that was just this horrifying disaster, but it was interesting with the bride price situation. It also re-piqued my interest in reading. There's a book I've got in my wish list somewhere about brewing, about women and the history of brewing, because I mean that was a part of your household duties, and I mean. Back in, I mean, this is like ancient, you know, now it's like Syria and Iraq, but everybody
And
didn't
that,
die because you just drank beer instead of water. You
well, and
safer.
like the women being like the brewers, that was that went all the way up and into like the Middle Ages in England. Like brewing was seen as a woman's trade, like that they could do.
Yeah,
I
and I
don't know
think it
why,
seems
but
that, and it seems that historically, I mean, it came out of they were the ones that know how to do it. They passed it down to their daughters. They taught them how to do it. But it was just something like baking the bread every day that you did for your family, and it was part of
they're
your
the
bride
ones
price
they're
consideration, right? You go and like meet the somebody you're trying to marry off, and like you have them try your daughter's beer to up the price.
It's like it's you know they're the ones that are doing most of the cooking and like the preserving, and they're the ones that are looking at this like juice going bad and being like, eh? Like and dipping their finger in and trying it and being like, oh, that's good stuff.
In the closet for a few days, see if it gets
Closet
better.
for a few days. See if it gets better.
Right? So yeah, there was just so much of that detail in this book. I loved reading it again, and I don't generally reread books. There are very few books I've ever reread, and I'm also not I don't remember things very well. So that's good. It was kind of like a first read again. I was like, got partway through. I'm like, I'm not, I didn't, I wasn't reading it like I just remember all this and I have to read it again. And like, oh yeah, that happened. I remembered very little except that I really liked it. And I just enjoyed actually reading it again, remembering how much I liked the characters and yeah.
It was nice that she was able to, like, when after the big kerfluffle and then she left, that she got to, like, see Joseph again and like reconcile with him. That was, and he wasn't part of that because I think he had already left by then. Like, he left
They sold him off
before.
into slavery, the Shin
Yeah.
brothers that killed everybody.
I mean, left. He got sold. He
Yeah.
left, quote unquote.
But like how weird then that her son was like working for him and it's like, oh my God, I hate this oaf. He's just a posturing like bullshit status and I'm doing all the work. And then it's like, oh shit, that's my brother.
Hi, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a while.
But kind of the, like really unlikely being able to strike out on her own and create her own life and the good fortune through this terrible tragedies in her life is incredibly compelling. But yeah, like I said, like I really like the threat of the midwifery, being like as much disrespect as there was for women. It's also like the whole red tent. Like there are things that were secret. Dudes just didn't even understand how this shit worked, and but they really valued having children, and so you could like get out of having to just do bear children your whole life by learning midwifery, and gain some sort of status that is from your own the work at your own hands.
The age-old struggle of women finding themselves better positions.
Right. Can we fix the rest of it?
Can we?
It's about time.
But no, I enjoyed that. It was
Hey,
interesting, and
we
it
got a
did remind
raid.
me.
Sorry, we got a raid. Woo! We've been raided by
Woo!
Goth Falcon.
Oh, hello.
So,
Yeah,
hello,
no,
Goth Falcon and
it
raiders. Elder Goth here.
was.
Well, I am glad that you guys also liked this one. I know a lot of my books have been very dry and textbooky in their own way. Do we want to look at our books thing and go ahead and roll for our next book club
Hang on. Why
now?
do I have what? Eh? Why do I have a new tab open? What is happening? Okay. I didn't open the tab. I don't know what my computer is doing.
I mean, I only
Well,
have
let me
10
get to my
siders with me,
drive.
but I've got my awesome dice tower right here.
Sorry, I just had a moment of it's fine.
One, two, three.
The
We got
Twilight version, the
s
Twilight theme song plays over at Linda's house. What's happening?
We only have 5 books on the list right now that we have not read.
Okay.
And for our listeners, again, send in any suggestions you might have. We'd love to hear from you and get those suggestions. This whole segment was inspired by a listener.
Okay, so we hold on. We have red
Read the red
tent.
tent. Right, there are five on
One,
this
two,
list we have
three,
not read, and I
four.
have 10-sided dies. So this would be.
No, there's four because red tent is one of so we have Trigor, we have Dracula. Oh no, there are
Lad, the
five. I
Alchemist, and
miscounted.
Memrise. Yeah.
The Twilight theme song continues to play.
Don't shout the Virgo's math.
Yes. So, do you want to do like one and two is Trigor, three and four is Dracula,
Yeah.
five and six is Lamb, seven and eight is The Alchemist, and nine and ten is Memoirs of a Geisha.
Okay.
All right, let's see how it goes.
Six.
Six. Lamb.
Lamb.
Lamb by Christopher Moore.
Whee! Weirdly enough, it's kind of another one that's based in religious myth, but it's a comedy.
All right. That sounds interesting.
I've read many Christopher Moore books, but I think that might, was that the first one? That might have been the first one I read. But I read a bunch of his books. They're hilarious and so heinously irreverent. Like, there's stuff about love nuns, and there's a vampire one, and very, very funny stuff.
Lamb, the gospel according to Biff, Chris, childhood pal.
Yes.
Okay. Make sure I have the right one pulled up.
So it's kind of got that Life of Brian thing going, where it's like that parallel.
Well, then it's going to also remind me of In the Beginning.
Cool. So everyone out there, you can go pick up this book. I'm sure I'm not going to say I'm sure they have this at your local library. That would depend on your librarians. My librarians are really cool, even though I'm in this shitty small southern town. So they probably have it, but I believe I still own this one. This is one I loaned to somebody, and they mailed it back to me a few years later.
Oh, nice!
They're like, I lent it to somebody I was working on the Obama campaign with, and then he's like, I got it in the mail one day. He's like, I bet you thought I forgot. I'm like, yeah. But hey, okay, so that will be our next book, and we'll do that, it's March, so somewhere around June.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, we're doing this like on the solstice. We could just start doing it at the spokes, right? We could do it in the spokes.
That'll make it easier for us to remember. It'd be like when. Yeah, sure.
We could get all crazy pagan with it. If people don't send in any suggestions, we'll just start reading solstice and equinox books.
I mean, look, Silver Raven Witch? Was that the woman I used to read when I was a little baby goth girl? How to ride a silver broomstick. Let me look that up.
It sounds about right.
Like, I could start going through my new age stuff.
I know this title.
Silver Raven Wolf. Yep, that was her name.
Yeah.
I mean, you.
That's a Llewellyn publication, is it not?
We need more books for our list, so, you know, if you want to start putting those on there.
I was trying to think of, like, I thought we were going, like, a more feminist angle. Why that is, I also don't have it. It's slightly problematic at points. So,
yeah, try to do female authors or books with female central characters, but yeah. I mean, we've never been as hardcore about that. That was something we decided to be more diligent about, the format change in general, and we're nah.
Yeah, I thought about maybe putting a Study in Scarlet on there for us to read, just because it's like a classic.
I have not read that.
It's a good one. Sherlock Holmes. I have all the Sherlock Holmes mysteries because I am a collector.
No. I don't think I've ever read a full Sherlock Holmes. I listened to one, my Sleep Cove sleep meditation podcast I use sometimes. Sometimes they just do book readings, and they did a Sherlock Holmes one.
It's interesting just because, like, you're not expected to take the mental leaps that the main character is. You're there to discover it with Watson.
I like that idea, that point of view.
Yeah.
I think I've had more exposure to Sherlock Holmes through Star Trek than actual books, so.
That's fair.
But this I should clean out my notes. I know in my notes on my iPhone, I have these notes that are just book titles from conversations I'm having with somebody. They start telling me about a book, and I just put it in notes. Like, there's... I checked one the other night. There's a teacher friend of mine. Have you read The Book Thief? I'm like, no, you have to read The Book Thief. okay. And then stuff where, you know, some of our book recommendations have been picked up by one of my librarian friends, and then she goes on Facebook and they do little videos where she talks about them. I'm like, oh, neat. Spinoffs. So, girls, what are you most anticipating coming up this week?
Well, I am going to be playing in the delightful and popcorny and don't have to worry about nothing cat game coming up to Tuesday or Wednesday.
Cat game?
Tomorrow or the day after. So it's literally, it's off of the Fate system, and we are playing cats that have magical powers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's like... it's called, I think, the Secret World of Cats is, I think, the name of the game. The person that wrote it is, they must have cats because they, it's like all of the magical powers are based off of what cats do in real life. So, like, you know, when your cat is like walking around your house very specifically and you're like, what are you looking for? That in the cat game is your cat warding. It is warding your house.
Huh. Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never questioned that in particular, but yeah.
And cats staring into like the deep, staring into the shadow or staring into the like corner, looking real hard at something, that's them seeking.
Neat. Well, I'm really curious about this. I'm going to have to Google harder, though, because if you just search for the cat game, you get tips from freshstep.com on how to play with your cat.
No. I mean, I will find the actual name of it, rules and references, is The Secret World of Cats.
Okay.
And it is based off the Fate system.
Cool. How about you, Ray?
I'm mostly looking forward to getting my shot, so we'll be 3 for 3 for the grills.
Yay!
My first COVID. I'm just waiting for confirmation that I get my half day that I requested for it.
Did you have any trouble getting an appointment, by the way?
A bit. It was, we ended up going to the Kroger site.
Yes, I had trouble.
So, like, by the time I would select a time and place for the first one, and they'll want you to sign up for the second one. Apparently, I just couldn't get the second one, so then I had to go back, reload the page.
So here's what happened on the Kroger site. They have a I don't know if it's meant to be an actual thing or if it was a glitch, but they cannot schedule out more than 2 weeks. So if you try to schedule your second shot, it's like, oh, that's supposed to be a month from now. I can't do that. Sorry. Yeah. I literally had to get on the phone with someone and be on hold for like 30 minutes. And then they helped me.
Scott ended up calling tech support. Yeah, I had a lot of similar issues here. My understanding, talking to some pharmacists and people who work at these facilities, is partially with the supply limitations. Some places, like the health departments, aren't actually making appointments at all until they receive the shots and know exactly how many they have. Some of the sites around here, like the Walgreens, for instance, you can't make an appointment at all anymore. A lot of them are opening up at midnight and then all the appointments get filled. But some of them, Ingles and Publix, showed up in my Facebook feed like, hey, they have shots over there at their pharmacies, but they don't even have online ordering or online appointment scheduling at those places. And... Mm-hmm. Well, it's the weird thing about Publix, like I could get an appointment in Florida or I think Georgia, but like North Carolina or South Carolina, but like North Carolina, because they only recently have Publix, I guess. I can't even click on North Carolina to try and make an appointment over there. But I heard a lot of people were just going to Walgreens between 3 and 5 o'clock, and people that didn't show up for the appointments, they're just giving the shots away because the Moderna and the Pfizer need the refrigeration. Mm-hmm. So they rather than waste them, you can just show up these places and get them. I end up going to Walgreens. I had to pick up a prescription anyway. I said, can you put me, on the, waste list? And they just had a paper list. And and then I went to Ingles and I walked in and I had to, again, make appointments in person. And the next day Walgreens called and said, hey, can you come over right now? Yep. So my husband and I went And my friend Lori was having trouble getting an appointment, so I told them I wanted all three because I had put my son on the list too. And then my son was like, "I need a shower. I don't have any clean clothes. I don't want to go now. I thought I was going tomorrow." So I just went over and I called Lori and I checked in. I was like, "Okay, my husband and I are here. My son isn't coming, but I have a friend on the way." And they let her slide in and take that third shot. And then I called over to Ingalls so we weren't holding anyone else up. And I canceled my appointment, I canceled my husband's appointment, but I did take my son the next day. Ingalls immediately scheduled Victor's next shot. He got his shot and got his appointment for the next one for 2 weeks. Walgreens wouldn't do that. They just emailed me later and said, we'll let you know again closer to the time to try and make an appointment. But they basically kind of have to, like, they at least have a running list of, okay, this many people in that week are going to need them. And I think they'll reserve them before putting the appointments online. So it's all kind of crazy. People are running in circles. I did get invited to a really good Facebook group. If anybody out there is still having trouble finding a shot, there are some really strong activists online checking every different way you can get one to give people tips and tricks to get their shots. So.
Might have to send my mom that way because, yeah, my parents still aren't. And Georgia's opened it up. Like, we're still technically in 1A, but we've just opened up the, so it's a broader registration.
Which shot did you
So,
get?
huh?
Which one did you get?
I have no idea. I
Oh.
won't know until I get
Oh,
there.
that's right. You don't know till you get there. They didn't tell you.
Yeah, I'm hoping Moderna,
I
because.
think, let me double check. I
Got
think I
the
got the Moderna.
Jolene vaccine.
I want Dolly Parton's vaccine.
Exactly. It looks
Yeah.
like my cousin Tommy just scheduled his at CVS.
I
I'm
got the
trying
Moderna
to.
one. Yeah.
You got Moderna too? The other one I'm still having trouble finding right now is the Pfizer because my other son is 17 and it's the only one he can have. So tracking down a place that specifically does have the Pfizer has been a little trouble. I have a bunch of friends who were really easily able to get the Johnson and Johnson. They have a bunch of drive-through clinics for it here right now.
Yes, because
So, yeah.
that's the one where you only need the one shot, but it is liable to flatten you. So be
Yeah,
aware.
and one of my friends felt pretty crappy for like 4 or 5 days. The other one, nothing, just a sore arm. So, who knows? So, what am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to playing with my new iPad. I got an iPad. Yay, stimulus. Like, it's blue. Ooh. Although I'm like really a nervous wreck about it until I get a case. So, I'm going to be trying to art, right? I'm not very
Yay!
good at it, but I'm going to try. My husband bought Procreate, so I'm going to try using that because it does have family sharing available, which was good to learn today. What else? Hopefully, helping local burlesque show folks with sound. The Flamingo Review just did this online. You could buy a ticket and watch the show. And then I have it available to watch more for like 2 weeks on YouTube. And I know a bunch of these people now. I know some Ren Faire. I know them from you guys. Leona is a friend of Silver. Silver was in it. Pepper LaRouge was in it. Anita Tool was in it. Like so many artists I already know. And the theme was D&D. Like it was D. What was it called? D&D 20. So they all the acts revolved around it. It was like they had a party that was going to different adventures, and then they would run into one of the artists, and they would do their themed like some kind of villain. Our friend Pepper did a beholder costume. I shit you not. Oh my God, it was so amazingly creative. She had peacock feathers for her fans, so it was eyes, and then like her bodice piece was a beholder, like it had the eye and the. It was so fantastic. But
Awesome.
when I sent a tip in, I did contact the organizers. I was like, "Hey, Troy, like if you guys want some help with the sound design, please let me know." And he was like, "I am taking you up on that." Because even though it was great and they put, all of their heart and soul into this production, there were definitely sound issues. Like their bed track was like as loud as the voices, and then the voices weren't volumized to even, so you'd have trouble hearing someone, and just little things like that, where it's like, I just wanted my hands on the soundtrack to fix it. and so I could basically offer them my services, so I look forward to hopefully working with them in the future.
Hooray.
Hooray! So remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Our next one will be on March 29th at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be talking about The Night Witch. Might not be what you
Dun
think it is.
dun
dun.
dun.
All right. And in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, you can support us by becoming an amazing patron. Patrons are the greatest girlfriends on the internet. And you can become a patron at www.patreon.com/girls. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And in addition, wow, my goodness, my voice.
Oh my.
Another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free and they help our ranking, which helps other people find our podcast. And you can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word.
Where can we find you girls on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's MISC. And you can check out my website store at madcapm.com.
You can find me on Instagram under Dapple Dame and on Twitch as Ray Ino.
Yay, and you can find the Jen, who isn't here right now, but she comes around now and again. at the Jen Says on Twitter, streaming on Twitch at the Jen Plays, and find everything at thejensays.com because she owns it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.